Hey, listeners, I have a terrible secret that I have to share with you. Are you ready? I watch professional wrestling. I know my audience, and I know what you're probably thinking. I've lost a lot of respect for Joe. I can't believe he watches that fake stuff. And guess what? I've been watching that fake stuff since I was a kid. And while I don't watch it as much as I used to, in fact, I don't watch much TV at all, I have found wrestling to be something that gives my friends a reason to come over. We'll watch a pay-per-view together, and I've kept a little tradition that my friend started when we were in college. Since I have this podcasting hobby, a couple of months ago I was thinking about podcast episodes and unique topics, and I started to come up with this idea about the World Wrestling Federation. I don't watch the show for the wrestling. Yes, there are cool moves that we all love, but once you know how wrestling works, there are a group of people backstage that decide who the shows are centered around and who are the champions. There is a promoter, there is a booker, and there is a whole host of reasons why certain people are picked to go up the card and certain people are at the bottom of the card. It dawned on me that wrestling is so much closer to corporate America than you could possibly imagine. So this week, we are seriously talking about the World Wrestling Federation in terms of corporate career advancement. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 128. I'm literally envisioning one of my listeners, Jonathan, shaking his head right now and saying, I can't believe Joey's doing this. He must have run out of material. I have seriously been thinking about this episode for months. So to help validate that the World Wrestling Federation isn't a total fly-by-night or garbage company, let's start with some statistics. The WWE, their revenue has risen steadily over the past 5 years. Even as television audiences are declining and becoming more fractured, and the WWE is most definitely suffering from that, they are finding ways to generate more revenue and more income from television. As I mentioned, their revenue has risen steadily over the past 5 years, from $507 million per year in 2013, to $800 million in 2017. That is the most money the company has ever made. The WWE recently re-signed their television deals, and they split their two flagship shows to different networks. Their Raw television show will remain on the USA Network, which is owned by NBC Universal, and it is reported by Forbes that they are making about $240 million per year on that show. They have another show called SmackDown. It is currently being broadcast on NBC Universal, USA Network. Up till a couple of months ago, they were making about $110 million per year on that show. However, in May, it was announced that they are moving SmackDown, SmackDown only, over to Fox, and they signed a 5-year deal for approximately $1 billion. So we're in a situation where the WWE is making more money on their television shows while their ratings are in decline. The company has one thing going for them right now. Because of the Fox intellectual property sell-off that's going to Disney, the Fox TV channel needs content, and the WWE produces about 10 hours of content per week, which I might add is way too much. I do not maintain or watch wrestling on a weekly basis. I don't have the time, and I don't have the desire to watch 10 hours of professional wrestling a week. I'm a 4 hours a month kind of guy. The way that I keep up with the WWE is through internet summaries, people who write descriptions about what happened on the shows, and through their YouTube channel, which I might add is like the second most popular YouTube channel on YouTube. So there are a lot of eyeballs on the WWE. And I might also add that they have their own streaming network like Netflix with years of content of old wrestling shows, and they have a ton of original content with former wrestlers and the wrestlers when they're driving in between shows. The WWE is a content generation machine, which is the thing that's making them valuable. But let's not get crazy. It's not like the WWE is on NFL levels. As a comparison, the NFL, they brought in revenue of about $8 billion last year. And on average, each team in the NFL, they brought in about $255 million each. So if you compare the WWE to an individual NFL team, they're killing it right now. But if you compare them to the entire league, it's peanuts. So that's the WWE from a business perspective. Another point of information that you should all know is that the main owner, the main booker, the main promoter of World Wrestling Entertainment is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I love Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is this old surly dude who can't wrestle, who used to get into the ring with some of the professional wrestlers and just get destroyed. And he's so ungraceful that he would tear his hamstrings when he would go into the ring.
I've got a point. The point is this. You can't win. You can't win against the McMahons. You nor anyone else in the world can beat the McMahons. You can't do it. You see, you may win a battle or two here and there, but you will never, ever win the war against the McMahons.
Vince McMahon, he has an aesthetic. He has a certain type that he wants his professional wrestlers to look like. Think Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan is actually a very good entry point for this conversation. When I started watching professional wrestling at around age 5, Hulk Hogan was the guy. They had toys, they had posters, they had those little pillow wrestling buddy things. Hulk Hogan's face was everywhere. He had his own cartoon when I was a kid. So at that point in the 80s, you had these big beefy dudes rolling around, all steroided up, and Vince had his guys, he had his champions. So in the 80s, when Hulk Hogan was champion, he was the main guy. They didn't move the belt around too much. And that meant there was a group of guys that had to wrestle Hulk Hogan and lose, but had to make him look good constantly. So when you listen to interviews from those older wrestlers who used to be in business with the Hulk, there's a lot of bitterness because all of those dudes thought that they could be Hulk Hogan and make the Hulk Hogan money. But that's not how Vince McMahon works. And Vince likes to keep his focus on one person, sometimes at the expense of the entire show. But then in the early 1990s, there was the steroid scandal. Hulk Hogan left the World Wrestling Federation at the time and moved over to the rival Ted Turner-owned World Championship Wrestling. And Vince was in a quandary. Many of his top guys were getting older. And also because of the way they were booked, because of the way they were presented on television, some of those older stars, because they were fed to Hulk Hogan, they lacked credibility with the audience. He still had the steroid issue that he was dealing with, and he didn't want those beefier guys on television every week as emissaries of his product. And this is where the career thing comes into play. One of the things that Vince McMahon did was condition his audience for progression. So in the 80s, the WWE had three belts. You had a tag team champion, you had a mid-card championship called the Intercontinental title, and then you had the big championship, the Hulk Hogan championship. And while Hulk Hogan was chewing up all of these other wrestlers, you had this mid-card and you had this tag team scene. And Vince's bookers, who were all former older wrestlers, they sort of had a strategy for that tag team and mid-card circuit. If you were a new guy coming into the World Wrestling Federation, they probably started you off as a tag team. So you were a team, and they may have paired you up either with another young person, or they may pair you up with a veteran so you can learn the ropes. Former champions who started off in tag teams often say that it was instrumental for them to be in a tag team because not everything rests on them. In a tag team, you have four guys in the ring, and everybody's learning off of each other. That's another thing about wrestling. The guy who's on the other side of the ring, your opponent, in the real world, they're usually assigned to somebody who's young to get them trained up to make them look good. So it's an interesting paradox. You have somebody who's brand new, who's at the bottom of the card, and then you may have a veteran who's been working for the company for a very long time, who's also at the bottom of the card now, training effectively his successor. And over time, there are some wrestlers who took that job with grace and enjoyed the role as a teacher. And again, there are others that were bitter. Bitterness is a common theme with former professional wrestlers. Over time, those who started in tag teams, they start to get a following, they'll start to become popular, or at least one or two of them will, and then the WWE would do the time-honored, the tag team breaks up. So one guy goes good, one guy goes bad, they feud for a while, and the person that the company had their eyes on moves up the card. And when that happens, they usually start to move into the mid-card championship. For the people who actually wanted to be entertained with in-ring wrestling action, that Intercontinental title, they used to call it the Workers' title. So Hulk Hogan's at the top of the card. He's telling the kids to eat their vitamins. He's doing all the hand gestures and ripping off his shirt in the ring. And then you had guys in the early 90s like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. These were smaller guys that worked hard in the ring. They did cool moves. They made wrestling sort of look respectable. And they started to establish a fan base because of their hard work. So less about the clown gimmicks and more about athleticism. So then the steroid situation hits. Hulk Hogan leaves for the other company, he's making a boatload of money. And what is Vince going to do? The person and the handful of people that he built his show around for the better part of 10 years, they're either gone or they're not looking so great. He decides to leverage his mid-card. These are younger people who had been with the company for several years. They're not as big. They're not as bloated. They put on good matches. And he built his company around that. Here's an interesting point. Whether Vince McMahon invented this concept or not, he gave the audience the concept of succession plan, just like in a corporation. You have to have a strategy when your top guy leaves. And for a period of time, the audience started to accept that there was a bench and people from the mid-card moved up. You work your way up to the top. People knew that wrestling was fake, but they knew that if you do the right things, you start at the bottom, you work your way up, the audience will accept you. So in your career, one important thing as you're progressing up the career ladder, and I didn't talk about this in last week's episode, was the acceptance of your peers. Sometimes you're in a situation where a boss really likes you, and they may hotshot you to promotions. And in those situations, that can cause animosity with your coworkers and with your customers. So there's something to be said from a career perspective with the steady increments of career success, where your coworkers start to root for you to succeed and to progress versus resentfulness. In modern times, World Wrestling Entertainment, they got rid of the F because of the World Wildlife Federation. They're not heeding to the formula that they created. They are currently building their storylines and their television programs around a guy they call Roman Reigns. And it's very interesting to see what happens when this guy comes out from the back. Even though he's supposed to be a quote-unquote good guy, the crowd ruthlessly boos him. And he's a guy that they hotshotted to the title. Initially, they followed the formula. They put him into a tag team with two other guys. But he was probably the most green of the three, but they liked his look. So they pushed him up the card at the expense of many other wrestlers. But the crowds are smarter now. The crowds know what's going on in the background. They saw this one guy who's green and who may be good in the future start to chew up their favorite wrestlers. So they turned on him. And this is a situation where you are seeing immediate feedback happening via the crowd to the people in the back. And the thing about Vince McMahon is, and he's said this in several interviews, I'd rather be a millionaire making my own decisions than being a billionaire following someone else's direction. So Vince McMahon will literally spite his own checkbook to do the things that he wants to do and the things that he thinks is right, even though his audience is telling him differently. And that is an interesting paradox for a leader, because as a leader, he is getting the feedback saying, we don't want this particular product, please change it. However, he is steering his company into ever more profitable territory. So whatever the guy is doing, he's getting positive financial feedback. I mentioned in previous podcasts that I've been traveling a lot for work, and when I travel on Mondays and I'm stuck in a hotel room, I'll sometimes turn on professional wrestling. And because I don't watch wrestling on broadcast television, I usually just watch it on the pay-per-views. I have to say that the show is almost unwatchable now. Between the commercials and the constant advertising for products, for example, they'll be in the middle of the match and they'll stop and say, by the way, try that new Mountain Dew or Cheetos Fire. They're amazing. Then you'll see like logos popping up on the screen while the wrestlers are doing their jobs. I can't get through it. But the more commercials they pack into those shows, the more infographics about Cheetos, the more money they're making. So who am I to say that they're doing the wrong thing? For the last 20 years, since Ted Turner's World Championship Wrestling went out of business, the WWE has not had competition. This has been detrimental to professional wrestling. Vince McMahon got lazy when he didn't have someone nipping at his toes. At one point, Ted Turner's World Championship Wrestling was actually beating the WWE in the ratings. Ted Turner stole Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and all these other people that Vince McMahon built up. Ted gave them fatter contracts, gave them creative control, and they eventually started beating Vince in the ratings. Regardless, for the last 20 years, the WWE has not had significant competition. Other organizations have tried, but ultimately the TV contract is the thing that is going to make a professional wrestling company profitable. But because of things like YouTube, independent wrestling leagues are becoming much more popular. They're developing the next generation of wrestlers, and they're putting Vince on guard again. In the 1980s, the wrestling business was built up on territories. So you had a Texas territory, you had a Minnesota territory, you had a Canadian territory, and then you had the East Coast, New York, which was the WWF. Vince McMahon's father started it, but when Vince Jr. took over, he started going after all the other wrestling territories. He would take their top stars, he would pay to put his television program on the local news channels or the local channels that wrestling aired on. So these little local federations that were getting paid to put on TV shows, now Vince was paying to have his programming put on top of theirs. So eventually all the little local leagues went out of business. They lost their stars, they lost their television, and eventually there was only two. And then in the 1990s, there was only one. Vince McMahon, after he put all of these companies out of business, he ruthlessly negotiated contracts to get their film footage for pennies on the dollar. But now, thanks to YouTube, there are a bunch of independent wrestling leagues that are gaining attention and making money. So from an employee perspective, these WWE wrestlers for the last 20 years, there was really nowhere for them to go. 20 years ago, if they left the WWE for the independent leagues, they would be making $35 a night. But now these independent companies, they're making a little bit of money and people can survive. They can make a living wrestling without Vince McMahon. Thanks to the internet, thanks to streaming, these companies can offer their products to a new audience that they would not be able to reach without it. And there are some former wrestlers and promoters that are taking advantage of this audience and this appetite for something different and turning it into a business model. So it's a weird scenario where the television audience for wrestling is shrinking, but the appetite for professional wrestling seems to be growing because of these alternatives. So the parallel to corporate America is, if you are someone who's working for a corporation and you don't feel like your services or your actions are being appreciated, there's an opportunity to create something new. But you can't do that overnight, and you have to do your homework, and you have to build a following, or you have to build an audience. But in the right conditions, it can be done. As an office worker, we are not often presented with or given the opportunity to get external feedback or praise, unlike professional wrestlers who have the cheering crowds, literally giving them instantaneous feedback for every little thing that they do in the ring. So it's sort of fun to fantasize about what would happen if there was an audience when you're finishing that TPS report, or if you had a crowd, an unruly crowd, if you were giving a presentation, how would you change that presentation to accommodate that crowd, that loud vocal crowd? I certainly think it would make corporate America and the daily grind of an office job much more entertaining.
Give me a hell yeah! What? What?
So that's it. Thank you for listening to my wrestling-themed podcast. It will likely not happen again, or not for the foreseeable future. And we will be back next week discussing what happens when your technology visionaries turn out to be total buttheads.
You're fine!
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sportscast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sportscast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.